Hi, my name's Heidi, and I'm a little lady in the dirt in Mozambique, and I love Jesus with all my heart, so just want to pray and ask God that he would come and touch us and do what he wants to do here, you know, and also have some time just to talk and find out just how all of us can fulfill more of his heart. So let's just pray. Hallelujah. Here we are, Jesus. Here we are, sweet King Jesus, in a little room, just a little group of people in a little room. We don't know how to reach the unreached people groups. But God, we want to learn, and we want to learn how to love you. We want to have hearts, Lord, that beat like your heart beats, God. Lord, I thank you for all the people that know so much in this conference, Lord. And I just, I really thank you for all of them and all their abilities and all of their skills and all of the statistics and all of the things that they know. God, it's amazing, and we're so grateful for it. And we're so grateful, Lord, that we can draw upon their expertise and their knowledge. But Jesus, you know who I am. And I'm just not one of those ones that know so much. Yes. I'm not one of those ones who know so much, God. But I want to learn how to love, Lord. And I want to learn how to embrace your heart, God. And I thank you, Lord, for this, the heart of this conference that says no logos, no egos. God, I'm grateful for a group of people that said we will come together and we will learn from each other and we will care for the lost and the broken. So sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. We ask you to come, sweet Holy Spirit. We ask you to come, sweet Holy Spirit. We ask you to motivate our hearts today and send us, Lord. Send us, Lord, to the unreached. Send us to the lost and the dying and the broken. But God, send us as passionate lovers. Send us, Lord, as laid down, holy given lovers, Lord. Oh, God, don't let us burn out, but may we burn up, God. May we burn up, God. May we burn up. Up, Lord, like passionate flames, God. God, we'll give our life for love. We won't give our life for anything but love. But for love, Lord, we'll give it. Shundai, for love, Lord, we'll lay down. And for love, Lord, we'll be broken. And for love, Lord, we'll run. And for love, Lord, we'll do anything, anytime, anywhere, even if it's Texas. God, for love, Lord. For love, Lord. For love, Lord. So God, you know that I feel unqualified and unable. But I rest, Lord, in the shadow of your wings, and I say, come. Come, Lord, and do what you want to do now. Come, Lord, and change us and transform us, God. Until we be more like you. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Invade our hearts, God. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Invade our hearts. Hallelujah. Shandai. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Halaba Shandai. Wow, Shandai. Thank you, Jesus. Where'd I put my Bible? Oh, I'm a worshiper, so I like to worship all the time. I could worship for the whole session. That's what I love to do. I was listening to all these amazing people and statistics, and I was saying, what am I doing there? I don't have any statistics. I don't really have a PowerPoint, but I have pictures. I think they're going to put them somewhere. We might be able to figure it out. We're technically challenged, you know. But I said, God, what is this about? And I was, first thing I thought, well, at least we can get all the books and get all the statistics and bring them home and, you know, get some information we need. But the Lord really spoke to me and he said, Heidi, just be who you are. Because I don't have complicated, you know. I don't understand complicated. I don't know how many seconds it'll take for, you know, the world to be reached. Or I don't know that stuff, and I'm so impressed by it. I'm just amazed by it, but I don't understand it myself. And I spent all these years, you know, I was 10 years studying systematic theology, and I got reduced to this. Simplicity. Utter simplicity. I got reduced to utter simplicity where God said, Heidi, all I'm asking you to do is love. I'm just asking you to go into the dirt and to love somebody in front of you. And I was praying and I was worshiping in my room today, and I'm so inept that I didn't even know what time it was because I'm on so many time zones. And so I got here at the wrong time, and I was saying, well, there's no one in that session. They must be running late. It was my clock that was late by an hour. I was an hour ahead some reason. And so I was all excited. Do you know why I was excited? This may shock you for someone who I've been preaching for 30 years. And I've been a missionary for 25, and I was so excited that my clock was an hour fast because I could run back into my room and worship for another hour. I said, that's so cool. I have another hour to be with Jesus. I have another hour to just worship him, and his presence just filled the room, and I was just undone again, and I was on the floor there just worshiping Jesus and saying, Lord, I love you. I'm so grateful for another hour just to worship in your presence. And I was saying, what is it that I could share, you know, with all these people who know so much? And just thought, well, the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel, which this is, for me, this is a life message. The simplicity of the gospel, what does it look like? And I was thinking of the experts who were in this situation talking to Jesus, the experts again, and it's from Luke 10. Expert of the law came to Jesus, and he said, on one occasion, the expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Did you get that? I just think that's, I'm sorry. Does that not strike you as funny? An expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Hello? He's God, you know, walking around in the flesh. And they want to test him, an expert, though. I'm going to test Jesus because he's the expert. I just think that's funny. What's he doing? What's he trying to do? Who's he trying to be? He thinks he's an expert, and he's talking to God in the flesh. Sometimes we're a little like that guy. We don't really understand a lot, do we? But he did have an incredibly good question. And if we have some incredibly good questions in these next few days, it's going to help us a lot. And he did. He had this amazing question, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What does it take for me to be saved? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he replied, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He answered Jesus. Jesus, of course, asked him a question. And so here he gives the answer. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So as I was praying and worshiping and saying, God, what do I share with whoever shows up in that little room? He said, talk to them about passion. This radical passion, this passion that drives you on. This passion. See, I've been living in that intimate place. I've been living in the, you know, you might think, well, why is that? Why are you emotional? I'm emotional because I'm in love. I'm emotional because I am so in love, I don't know what to do with myself but give my life for love. I've been shot at 5 times. I've been beat up. I've been thrown in jail. I've been knife to my throat, guns to my head. And the whole thing I count as joy. I count it all as joy. And I don't, I even count coming to Texas as joy. Although that would be the greater difficulty than being beat up. Why? Because it cost 3 days of travel to get here. And you're saying, what is that? Why, God? You know, Sunday morning, I was just worshiping God, and all of these Maku and Makandi, who were previously unreached people group, they're on their faces in the dirt, worshiping God, running to the altar. And I was just so excited. And then I had to rush home, so I'm rushing to my house, and of course I have tons of kids in my Land Rover with me, and they're jumping out, you know, and I have no water, no electricity when I get home. So I got this half an inch of muddy water, and I just poured it over my head and got on the plane. And I said, now I'm in Hotel What's It. And I'm just like out of my life looks a little schizophrenic. Do you understand? Because I'm there with the Makandi and the Makua on Sunday, and I'm here with you in this little room on whatever day it is. I'm not sure. I don't even know. I don't know what day it is. I got the time right now because God's good, you know. But do you understand? Everything looks a little disjointed in the natural. But what God spoke to me about is passion. He said, God said, Heidi, just love the one in front of you. Have this passionate love for everybody you come across, but love me first. So if you have an extra hour in your life, worship, love God. Don't try to become the church growth movement of the century. Be a worshiper. Be a lover. Be one who is absolutely enthralled with who he is. And then God will take your little life and multiply it for love's sake. So this expert of the law knows how to answer the question. And he's saying, I want you to be passionate. I want you to be one who loves God. And one who is full of love. And he knows how to say it. You know, we're good. Christians are good at saying what we're supposed to say, aren't we? We can talk the talk, and we can show the graphs, and we can figure it out in our minds. But he's saying, no, I'm saying really love. And love looks like something. Love has teeth. You know, unreached people groups, they know what love is. They might not know who Jesus is. They might not know who you are. They might not like you. They might hate your guts because you are different from them. But what they understand is love. Every culture on the face of the planet understands love. They understand passion, and they understand compassion. So God is saying first to love him because, you know, I don't know how many of you are missionaries. Are any missionaries in the room? Okay. Oh, good. Oh, yes. Okay. Do you remember way back when? It's probably gone now because we all know the Father heart and all that. But back when we started, my husband's third generation missionary. And I've been a missionary full-time 25 years, preaching 30 years, okay? We used to win prizes for who suffered the most. We used to win prizes. I mean, we lived in Hong Kong, 9th floor, no elevator, in the slums, and we poured cold water over our kids' heads because we thought that was holy, because the poor didn't have hot water. You know, we were so radical in the way we lived. We wouldn't eat cheese because the poor couldn't have cheese. Wouldn't eat meat, the poor couldn't have meat. And we just did this radical stuff, and we used to preach, burn out for God, hallelujah. And so we did. And I remember being carried onto a plane, unable to walk, so sick, my eyes just unable to open and couldn't stand the light, just so sick, immune disorder, sick and tired missionary. Glory to God. trying to reach the unreached people groups. I was reaching the old grannies in the slums of Hong Kong who had never heard the gospel. And I was in the cages with them where they lived in cages, reaching grannies and just loving on grannies in the cages. But I was sick myself. And I was undone myself. And I didn't understand this intimate passion where God would allow me to rest in his heart. Because I was such a driven, type A, straight A, driven missionary that I didn't understand anything about rest. So God laid me in a room. Just let me be in a room. Sick. 4 months just laid in a room, sick. And I just laid there worshiping, saying, God. And you know, it was a precious time. I wasn't reaching the unreached. Wasn't even able to be a good wife or a good mother or a good pastor, nothing. I'm just lying there. But Father just held me in his arms and loved me. And he just loved me for who I was. And he drew me into the secret place. He said, it's all about love. If you're passionately in love with me, then you'll follow me anywhere. You'll do anything. You'll go anywhere and nothing. You'll count nothing too difficult, nothing too painful, because you're in love. So you're saying, well, isn't this a little seminar on unreached people groups? Yeah. I don't know how to reach unreached people groups unless I'm passionately in love with the one who is altogether lovely. If I'm passionately in love with him, then I will sit in the dirt with the Makua and I will learn their language. I'll sit in the dirt with the Shangan and I'll get beat up and I will learn their language in the garbage dump until I earn the right to speak to them because of love. So here is this wise man telling the truth. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. But he doesn't get it, does he? For me, he was one who was able to put a chart on a board, but he didn't have it in his heart. He was one who was able to understand the statistics of it all, but inside his heart, he was mixed up. He'd done the work. He'd done the background study. He had the ability, but inside his heart, he just wasn't there. And so Jesus told him a story. I told Sherry, I said, get everything about all the storytelling stuff they've got here. I love stories. Jesus always told stories, didn't he? He's always telling people stories. And so I want to tell you some stories today. Is that okay? I don't have any charts. I do appreciate them. I just get so wowed by them, but I just don't have any. But I do have some stories, okay? Is that all right? Okay, so here's Jesus. This is the first ones from the book that I'll tell some of my own. But here's Jesus, and he's saying, now, you answered correctly. You got it right. Your statistics are right. You, all right, man. Good job. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Do what? Be a passionate lover of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's why if I only have one chance to talk to a few people in a room, this is what I want to talk to you about. The gospel looks like love. Reaching unreached people groups looks like one who loves. One who loves so incarnationally that you become like them. That you become like them in heart, mind, and spirit. That you're so passionate for Jesus that you watch his example, the King of Kings, who walked on the streets of gold, who knows he's the Son of God, who knows he has all power, all authority, everything. He is God himself, and he comes down, he's naked in a stable. That's incarnational love. Now he says, I've shown you how. I've shown you how to reach an unreached people group. I did it. I left everything I know and everything I am and everything that I have. I have left everything and I have come down naked as a little baby, as a little learner, and I have come down here to love you. You want to reach an unreached people group. That's how to do it. Shundai. You're like Jesus. You just become, you just come down. You go, okay, here I am, Makonde, naked. Not literally. But here I am, Makua, naked. I don't know your language. I don't know your culture. I don't know your custom. I know nothing. I'm just a little person in the dirt knowing nothing. Teach me. Help me. I will just sit here and I will learn from you. However long that takes. Whether it takes a year, whether it takes 20, it doesn't matter. Incarnational love does not look at a watch. Incarnational love does not look at a watch because my tribe, nobody has a watch. So they wouldn't understand the concept of time. 8:05, you start, and 8:39, you stop. They wouldn't get that. Show up when you show up. And they don't, they're not in a hurry because there's no buffet. Do you understand? They're, nobody's in a hurry for anything. They're just there, it's the event. They're event-oriented. They just, okay, it's an event. We'll stay till the event's done. It's 3 days. We're just all there. We'll just sleep in the sand, and we'll go when it's done. Shah. See, we just have to learn how to love, whatever it looks like, whatever it feels like. Incarnational love. How do you do that? By loving him first. By being so transformed by his love that you give your life for love. See, I can't just go, raw, raw, go, go. Because unless you're in love, please don't. Because you just go with your arrogance and your ability to rule over the people, and they hate it. Nobody wants to be ruled over. Nobody wants to be told to eat with a spoon. They just want to be loved. But if you want to go naked, you want to go as a learner. You want to go as one who has laid down and given, wholly given for love. Then you go. And if you want to stay, then you stay full. If you want to stay and be one who gives their life, then stay full of Jesus. Stay full of the Father's heart. Stay full of Holy Spirit. Be one who is so possessed by Holy Spirit that it doesn't matter how many times you get beaten, you will never give up for love's sake. I had 16 soldiers come after me, and I'll never forget this day. It was a funny day. You know, look at me, I'm 5'4". I'm not very scary, am I? You know, like, but I am in God. See, I'm just a little woman, but I have a big stick. You know? And it's a spiritual stick. And I'm just walking down the street, and we're just praying, and I'm with my Shangon kids. And there are these little girls, because the most powerful evangelists are little girls, little boys, 8, 10, 12. The pastors, they come along. The kids, they're really powerful. So I've got my worship team, my prayer team, and we're out there preaching at this powerful conference. No, we're actually on the street again. Favorite place to hang out, on the street, the dump, the bush. I love it. Okay. Look at this. Okay, it's different. Patterned carpet. I'm not used to it, but when I travel, I see this. So here I am. I'm there with these little girls. I don't know how many. I had 8 or 10 little girls with me, and we're just singing, Kanimambushkwemushamatimba, Boimolokwetsima. We're just singing away in Shangon, having a great time, and we're going to reach, you know, just love on the drug addicts and the bandits. And they say, well, isn't it dangerous? Yeah, they shoot at you and stuff, but it's okay. And the girls aren't afraid. So we're out there on the street. And there's this big truckload of soldiers pull up, police soldiers. And I stick AK-47s in my head. And I just thought it was funny because there were so many. And I was just me and my little girls. And I looked at him, and I shouldn't have done this. You should not do this. Don't put the, no one writes notes at anything I do, but if you ever did, don't put this down because it's not what to do. I laughed. I burst out laughing at them. I just said, does it, because there were so many of them with these AK-47 machine guns pointed at me, and I just found it hilarious. And I said, does it really take so many of you to just get me and my little girls? And they were just angry, you know. I said, just calm down. What do you want? They said, we're going to throw you in jail and take away the key. I said, okay, but I'm not getting in your truck because I'm with my little girls. They said, get in the truck. I said, no. Get in the truck. No. I said, just no. And they got angrier and angrier. Finally, I said, listen, I've got my girls here. We will follow you to the police station. And they're like, I said, this is funny. Some of my girls were crying. They said, Mom, they're going to put you in jail. That's bad. I said, no, don't worry. It's okay. So we're walking, and we walk to jail. And we get to jail. And they grab me, and they throw me in a room, and they're really angry, and my little girls are outside crying. These are little girls I picked up under trees and under bushes and in the dump, and they're my little girls, and I love them, and they were crying because they didn't like Mama being in jail. So they said, we'll go tell all Mama's friends. Okay. So they went out. They went out and got the prostitutes, the bandits, the gang leaders, all the street guys. And they don't like going to the police station because they get thrown in jail a lot. So it took a lot for this to happen. And they're all there. And they come. There's like a couple hundred of them. And they're standing on the police, in front of the police there. And they're going, let Mama go! Let Mama go! Let Mama go! And they come in the room. They said, why are those bandits and prostitutes and thieves calling you Mom? I said, because I'm like Mom, you know, they're my kids. I love them. They said, well, then go now. Come back at 8 when they don't know. 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I said, okay then. And I said, well, I have to go to Australia tomorrow, but I'll be back at 8. They said, no, you're going to jail. You're staying in jail. You have to come back at 8. We know where you live. You come back at 8. And I just worshiped the Lord. I just worshiped the Lord. I just worshiped the Lord. I just pushed into the holy place, the secret place. And I got there a little early, which is very odd for me. And it was about 10 to 8, and God said, Heidi, stay in the car. So I'm sitting in the car. I go, why? And I had a watch. You know, I got a watch. I've been to Swiss conferences. They give you watches down there at Lausanne. Swiss people give you watches. It's cool. So I have one. And I'm looking at my watch, and it's 10 to 8, and God said, wait till 8. So I waited till 8. When 8 o'clock came, I went into the police station. I said, here I am. You told me 8 o'clock. They said, the police chief just left. How does that always happen to you? I said, I don't know, but it's a good thing. They said, well, come in here and talk to Noah. Noah, it was the floods. The guy's name's Noah. Good name, Noah. It's the floods. I go in that little room with Noah, and he's screaming and yelling at me, and I pray, come, Holy Spirit. You know, I know where I am, so I'll be careful, but you know what I mean. I'm just like, come, Holy Spirit. I'm sitting in the room. Come, sweet Holy Spirit. And a Holy Spirit just comes in the room, and Noah starts crying. Noah gets saved. Noah it's just so awesome. And then Noah said, just go, just go, just go. The police chief's not here. Just go. And I got on the plane and went to Australia. It's just so neat. I was like, God is, all he's asking you to do is love. Whether it's Noah or the police with the machine guns in your head, the little girls, the little bandits, the little mean people that try to murder you, you just love them. You love until there's nothing left but love. And you love bottomlessly and ceaselessly and endlessly. That's how you reach the unreached people group. You love incarnational. You become like them in love. And you give your life for love. And so this story teaches us about love. Now there is one man who's dying on a road. And he's beaten by bandits, and they take away his clothes. He has no ties. He has nothing to give. He's just one dying man on a road. Why did I tell this story? I know I preached it at Hatfield. I know I did, because I didn't know what to say there. I think I've preached it 2 times in 5 years. This is what happened. One little person's dying in the road. 10 years ago, I went to Mozambique. God said, give away what you have. Give away your buildings. Give away your stuff. My husband was still working on his doctorate. I just finished. And I go, and he said, sit in the dirt. There I was. It's fun for the academics because, you know, I just had earned my PhD, so had that little thing in systematic theology. And God says, sit in the dirt and learn. I'm like, alrighty then. And he said, sit in the dirt and learn with the street children. I said, I don't do children. I don't do children. I do adults. I'll do university. I don't do children. He said, you do now. I said, I do children now. He said, yeah, you do children now. Sit in the dirt. Sit there with those kids. In 3 days, I had no food. Because God said, give away everything. Don't ask for anything. So, 3 days, I have nothing to eat, nowhere to sleep. And you're thinking, well, that wasn't very well planned. Well, it was a God plan. Why? Because the poor are going to have to help you. Incarnational love. Sit in the dirt. There, someone's going to help you. I didn't ask anybody. I'm just trying to learn Portuguese and Xangan. I have no other plan but to learn Portuguese and Xangan and to love somebody every day. There's my big plan. Unreached people groups. I'm reaching an unreached people group. These are street children. I've now reached the Makua tribe with lots of help from lots of friends. The Makua tribe is no longer unreached. Put it in your books. No longer unreached. No longer put it in the statistics. Nope, they're totally not unreached anymore. I'll tell you later, but it's cool. So there I am sitting in the street with the people, and I'm just praying and worshiping. Oh, God, help, help, help. That's my prayer and worship a lot of times. Help, 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 help. So I'm there, and I'm thinking of this story about the dying man in the road. And I'm thinking, it's me. I'm the dying, but I'm not a man, obviously. I'm the dying woman in the road. And I'm sitting there, and I have nothing. And who's going to stop for me? I don't know. And suddenly, I knew this was a missionary because she had a long flowered skirt and tennis shoes and a bun. And she comes running up to me. I knew it was a missionary. She said, here, take these keys. I said, okay. She said, I heard you just got to the country. Can you help me? I said, yeah, I have nothing else to do. She said, could you watch my house? I said, sure. She said, I have to go to the north. Watch my house. Eat the food or the rats will get it. I said, great. I had no food and nowhere to sleep. Suddenly, I have keys to some lady's house who I never met. She never even told me who she was, and she didn't tell me where she lived. And she ran off. And I had these keys in my hand going, oh, God. I have keys, but I, Shandai, help me, God. Tell me where. No, I've asked people, where does that woman live? And somebody told me, you know, and I got to her house. I was so happy. But I was the dying man at that time, and some lady stopped for me. So I carried on with my powerful ministry, and I sat in the dirt, sat on the street corner, did that for years. I still do that, by the way. Still sit in the dirt. I'm working on my 9th language right now. Sitting in the dirt. Naked again. Trying to learn another dialect. Said, God, I'm getting old. Just sitting in the dirt. And God said, now, just love these kids. I said, okay. And they're like that man in the street that was beaten and broken and had nothing left. And he has no money and he has no ability. And he's just hurting and he's sick. And he's not the multitudes and he's not the people in a crusade meeting, as wonderful as those are, except I wish you wouldn't call them that. But anyway, he's in this, just lying there in the dirt, and he has nothing to give anybody, and he's broken. And that's what I saw when I looked at the children who had never heard the name of Jesus, who had nowhere to sleep and nowhere to eat and nowhere to go, and selling their bodies for a bottle of Coke. I said, God, I want to love those people. I want to give my life for love. And I sat there and I said, I just said, I want to learn your language. I learned enough words to say, I want to learn your language. Teach me something, and they would teach me. And if I had 10 cents, I'd buy bread. And if I had 20 cents, I'd buy more bread. And then the Lord said, bring them all home, bring them all home. I said, where would that be? And he said, I'll give you a place to bring them. And I just started bringing them in. And they would become lovers of King Jesus one by one. Lovers of King Jesus one by one. Because they came and they taught me and they loved me and they poured into my life. And when I was able to communicate with them after a couple of months in their language, then I was able to bring them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then, not with my big ideas and my great plans, but with a little tiny life, which... that's who I am. I'm a little woman in the dirt. If some of you are saying, well, who's she? I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I'm a nobody from nowhere. However, I am a lover who is in love. And I know I'm a child of the Most High God. And I have given myself for love. And I have immersed myself in love. And that's all that I know. And I do not choose to become complicated. I've spent my life becoming this simple. So here's this man just dying there, and a priest, you know, a pastor, comes by. Oh, I often apologize, but, you know, I just don't think I will. I think he paid to go to a conference on church growth. The pastor. He was busy. A busy man. Busy, busy, busy man. Busy, busy, busy man. Busy, busy, busy. Had lots of stuff to do and lots of plans and gonna reach the unreached and find out how to do it by the year such and such. He's a busy man. You see, we can become busy with our plans and our ideas, and they may all be spectacular and glorious and powerful plans and ideas. And I'm grateful for everything that everyone knows. But this guy was too busy to see. We can become too busy to see. We can have too much information to see one dying man in the road. We can have so much information and so much things that we need to know and do and go and be that we can't see one guy in the road. An unreached people group is made up of individuals who are full of pain and suffering and agony, and they want you to see them. Just, they want you to see them, and they want you to stop, and they want you to feel, and they want you to understand who they are. So in the story, the pastor, priest, he was too busy with his program to stop, and he walked right on by, and then the next one was a worshiper. I'm looking at her. I'm a worshiper. See, I'm a worshiper first. Before I'm a missionary, I'm a worshiper. And just to pick on my own stream. Holy Shandarama Sondai, Rabarabashi Kalalama Sandai, praying in the spirit. Blind. Couldn't see. Worshipper who is blind. So you had a blind priest and a blind worshiper. Full of the spirit, yeah. Can't see a thing. So you've got two blind leaders who can't see, and then you get a third person, and the third person is a Samaritan. Listen to this. The Samaritan was absolutely despised by the one on the road. No, the guy on the road hated his guts, did not want to be touched by this one, did not want anybody to touch him. The Samaritan was not allowed to touch the Jew. There was nothing positive about this situation. But the Samaritan had an encounter with a woman one day who spoke to him about love. Because Jesus broke the rules. Jesus broke the rules, and at noontime, you know the story. At noontime, when anybody from Africa, you look a little darker than some guys. You look more like my guys, but you're not from Africa. Where are you from? Haiti. Oh, well, close enough. All righty. You understand. Your roots are in Africa. I can tell. Okay. This is the deal. You are. Where are you from? Oh, good. Hi. You know. What if there's a well? Do you go get water at noontime? You do? We don't. It's too hot. It's too hot. He just wrecked my story. No, but I bet your wife gets the water, man. If you just be honest with me, or yours comes out of a tap. You're not really understanding this, are you? Now, if you get water in Mozambique, our summer's December, it's like 45, it's hot, 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 hot. Nobody gets water at noon. That's when nobody goes because it's hot and it's miserable and it's nobody goes. But this lady, nobody liked the lady in the story. Do you know the story? The Samaritan woman who Jesus stopped for, and she's sitting there at noontime. Why? She's a barren woman. That's why she had all those husbands, most likely barren, couldn't have kids. Disgrace in my culture. I'm not American. I wrote Mozambique on the card. I know I was born here, but I'm getting my passport in Mozambique this month. I'm very excited. Listen, it's noontime. Nobody likes this lady. She's unclean, unlovely, unbeautiful. She's a sinful, rotten woman in the natural. And Jesus breaks all of the rules and sits with her and loves her. He looks her in the eyes and he cares about that lady. He looks her in the eyes and he just pours passion. And what does he say? What does he ask her for? A drink. Simple little request. Jesus says, could I have a drink? May I have a drink? Do you know how many rules he just broke? Do you know how many rules he just broke? Asking a woman for a drink? He's the Son of God. He could just look at a rock and say, water come forth. Do you know missionaries, ministers, people wanting to reach unpeople groups? We come in, we've got our Jesus film, we've got our Land Rover, we've got our air conditioning, we've got all our budget, we've got all our stuff. Here we are to save the day. Cool, I like all that stuff. We use the Jesus film. I have a Land Rover. But I'm telling you, unless you come as a learner, nobody is going to understand a thing. Unless you come as a learner and sit with the people and care about them and love them, then they're never going to respond. Or they'll respond because you have something they need, and then they'll leave. He understands. So you got to come and you got to say, I need a drink of water from you. See, Jesus knows everything. You've got your theology and your ability and your finance and your stuff. But if you would come to those people, that unreached tribe that you want to reach, and you would come and you would just come in simplicity, the simplicity of love, and you would come as a passionate lover of Jesus, and you would say, I don't care if I live or die. I will give my life for this tribe because Jesus gave his life for me. And that's just how you enter that tribe. You just enter that people that way. And you just sit in the dirt with those people. Or wherever you're going. Most unreached tribes are in the dirt, but I mean maybe yours is in the inner city. There are inner city unreached people groups. Young people in the inner cities, unreached people groups. But I'm saying you sit with them and you love them and you hold them and you feel and you say, could you give me a drink of water? Indonesia, I spent a year, two outfits, walking the streets, learning the language. Years ago, my first field, and God said, don't take any food, don't take any water, just sit with them and learn from them. And when I could communicate with them, I led 60 Muslim women in Sinan slums to Jesus. Because I'd given my life for love, and they fed me, and they clothed me, and they cared for me all those months, taught me their language. Same thing in Hong Kong, and then same thing in England, but I couldn't learn the language, although it was all cuss words mostly. And I didn't really, you know, like adopt all of those language things, but they taught me their culture, and I sat with them till I could bring them the gospel. Same thing in the slums of Mozambique, and the same thing in the unreached people group that's now not unreached. Just stopping, loving, feeling, caring. Here's Jesus, stops for a Samaritan woman, colors outside of the lines. I want to encourage you, color outside of the lines. I want to encourage you, break all the boxes, break the rules. Break the rules. For love's sake, break the rules and care and feel and let the passion of God touch your heart and ask them for something. Don't come with all the stuff. Ask for a drink like Jesus asked for a drink. Let them touch you. Let them give you something. They can give you their language. They can give you their culture. They can explain things to you that will so impact their hearts. Because once you have come as a learner and once you've come as one who is wholly given, then they will then listen to you. But you need to learn from them first because you have not understood their lives until they teach you how to understand. So Jesus touched the Samaritan woman, and she was so powerfully impacted by this man, by this love, this one who knew everything about her and still loved her. Can you live that kind of incarnational love in an unreached people group, whatever it looks like? Can you find out about their sinful nature, about the fact that they all have four wives, that they believe stealing is part of their right, that they believe that killing is not a problem, all of the things. Can you go in, learn something of a culture, learn something of a people group, and still love? Can you go in and learn about what they do and how they do it and not judge them and be able to love them in the midst of it, like Jesus loved that Samaritan woman? Sure, he wanted her to know his love. Sure, he wanted her to know a life of power and victory by coming to him as her Lord and Savior. But he loved her in the state she was in. Can you love your unreached people group? That unreached people group, can you love them without limit in the state they're in? Can you love them when they do everything differently than you do? Can you love them when they dress differently, act differently, talk differently, feel differently? Or have you come to teach them your way? Have you come to teach them your thing? You have no right to teach them your thing until you have learned their thing. So you just sit there like Jesus sat with that woman at noontime where nobody else would sit with her. How do we, you know, I have one statistic. Wow. 10 years ago, went in there with no money, no ability, no nothing, you know, in the natural. Now we have over 6,000 churches. That's one little statistic. That was kind of God. He did that. You know, I'm always saying I'm encouraging to people because when you look at me, you know, well, she sure didn't come up with it. That's a good thing. And my most powerful evangelists, I told you, are 8, 10, 12-year-olds. And they lay hands on blind eyes, white eyes. They just pray for them. Little 12-year-olds. And the blind white eyes go from white to gray to brown. Ha! And we don't have posters. The man of power for the hour. Or the woman. Ha ha! Worse yet, eh? No. Just go around into the bush, find, you know what do we do? Who's blind? Who's deaf? Who's dumb? Who's sick? Jesus loves you. Come on, we'll just pray for you. And little hands, little Ramadan and Ishmael, start praying. Little Ramadan and Ishmael, Mohammed. We let them keep their names. Why? Oh, I just like it. Ramadan, Ishmael, Mohammed, praying over the deaf, dumb, mutes. Boom, boom, boom. They just hear and they speak. It's just so fun. I get to do it too. They let me. My kids, they say, yeah, you go, Mom, your turn. Is that cool? Oh, but we could be poster people. No. Maybe you could just encourage every single one who goes before you to do this stuff, to love like Jesus, not trying to be somebody or be the best or the first or the greatest, but become the least, become the most hidden, become the most hidden, loved inside the very heart of Jesus. Oh, my goal is to become hidden to where no one could ever see me again, to where I become so hidden inside his heart that they just feel his love when I walk in a room. That's my goal. And I just look at every child, I say, that's what we want. We all want to be like Jesus. The least, who understood he's his son, but became a servant. Who knew, always knew who he was, but became nothing. Our goal is become nothing, to bring those into the place of powerful love, incarnational love. Well, that Samaritan woman, she got it. Why did she get it? Because Jesus broke the rules and loved her at noontime when it was hot. Nobody else would sit with her. And then he runs out, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. They're all upset, but. And he just calms them down. In the meantime, the woman runs out and sees her whole village saved. Ha! Why? Because a man loved her. Because a man asked her for drink, and she was a prostitute, broken, rotten woman, and he asked her for a drink of water, and he stopped for her, and he loved her when nobody else would look her in the eye, and he loved her. And then she went out, and she reached everybody for Jesus. So here's the rest of my story. Point number whatever. She somehow spoke to somebody who spoke to somebody, and that Samaritan man heard the story. And so here's the Samaritan man, and he, after the priest didn't stop, and after the Levite didn't stop, he is full of passion. He's a businessman. Oh, my. He's got his donkey. He's got his stuff. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and There's some dying person on the road there, and he stops. Why did he stop? Because a woman somehow communicated that Jesus stopped for her. And somehow he heard that message, and somehow that love touched his heart, and he was unable to walk past one dying man. I say, beloved of God, if each one of us would stop each day, if each one of us would love each day, if each one of us would become so nothing that we don't care that anybody we stop for has anything to give us, if we would just love like Jesus, then the world would know him. I know you could say, well, isn't that mushy, mushy, gushy, gushy? What's it? Does it? I believe that's the simplicity of the gospel. I believe the simplicity of the gospel, it's that simple that if we learn how to love and we give our life for love, the power of love will bring people to Jesus one by one. I do huge meetings. I speak to sometimes a couple hundred thousand people at once. But that is not my goal. That is not when I say, oh, I have arrived. Oh, hallelujah. No, my joy is sitting with one Makua child who is dying of AIDS, holding him in my hands, rocking him back and forth, watching that test go from positive to negative, and seeing the joy of God hit their little orphan spirit till they become a son. That's when I say yes. Watching a Makonde lady with tattoos all over her face, old wrinkled lady with a big hole in her mouth, just coming there and looking at me with her sad eyes and saying, my daughter's totally crazy out of her mind. Can you help her? And me saying, Mikina pelo funda makua akufuna mina. So I want to learn from you, but I'll love your daughter. And just holding that crazy, demonized daughter in my arms until she's free, until she's free and in her right mind, and watching that old woman just sob her heart out in the dirt and receive the love of Jesus. See, to me, that's the simplicity of the gospel. So I don't have complicated anything for you. I don't understand complicated anything for you, but I'm trying to learn how to love. I'm trying to learn how to love. There's just one dying guy, but the Samaritan, he had something in his heart to stop, and he felt, and his heart was broken. And you know, unless we have compassion, we should quit. How's that for a mission conference speech? Unless we have compassion, we should quit, because we're just going to hurt people. We've got to be full of passion for him, the one who is altogether lovely, hearts beating with this bridal love. Oh God, I'm so in love that I'll do anything. And then compassion for the one in front of us, just the one in front of us, whoever he puts there every day, the one in front of us, just this compassion that just breaks out of the box. Compassion. Do you know how many times I've been stolen from? Do you know how many times I've been slandered? Do you know how many times I've been beat up? Do you know how many times? God said it's compassion that is unstoppable. And when you're in love, you've got compassion that's unstoppable. And so I just live in that place of love. I live in that place of love, and I press into the heart of God, and then I look every day to whoever he gives me. And no, I cannot father. We care for 3,000 kids right now. I can't father or mother them. Roland can't father all of them. We don't even know all 3,000 of their names. But we know the ones God's given us right in front of us. And all our staff and all our coworkers, we just say, look, your job is to love God and to love your neighbor. That's our whole thing. That's our whole thing of our ministry. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Strategy, what's the strategy? Love God, love your neighbor. What's your goal? Love God, love your neighbor. What's your goal by 2010? Love God more and love your neighbor more. Oh, God, we wanted something more complicated. so we could wiggle out of it. Because if we don't understand it, oh, praise God, we're free. It's just too simple to wiggle out of. Gospel's too simple for you to wiggle out of it. You can't wiggle out of it. You can't push yourself. It's just too simple. Love God with all your heart and your soul and your spirit and your mind, a passionate lover, and then love the one in front of you. That's it. And God will download his strategy to you. He'll download his ability to you. He'll download everything to you. He'll download resources to you if you'll just love him without limits and love everyone you see every day. This is one little dying person on the road, the Samaritan stopped. I want to tell you a story that's just a personal story for me. when I first went to an unreached people group, it wouldn't have been written up in your books because they weren't important enough. They were a garbage dump group. They weren't written up in any books. The Maku and Makandiar. We got to rewrite that book, though. But I just went there to the dump. I remember, and smoke's rising, and the people are really violent. I mean, violent. Poorest country in the world. Violent, angry, miserable, unhappy people. And I am, okay, I'm from a privileged background, Laguna Beach. I'm the wrong color, wrong race, wrong economic background, wrong educational background. Everything about me is wrong, just like the Samaritan. I thought I'm in good company. Everything about me is totally wrong. I have a friend, I love Adelijah Sunday. I preached in his church. He's just cool. He's a black guy in Ukraine. Henry Madava, same black guy in Ukraine. He's come to Mozambique. I'm a white lady in Mozambique. Could God not have gotten it correct? And sent Henry and Sunday, you know, to Mozambique or somewhere in Africa, and me to Ukraine or something, you know what? Or at least send me to the rich. Who I grew up with, something, whatever. No. He takes me from Laguna Beach, grew up next to Zsa Zsa Gabor and Earl Hamner, who wrote The Waltons. Okay. Got my little Ivy League education. And then he says, okay, you go sit with the Makua. And I'll take Henry and I'll take Sunday and I'll send them to the Ukraine. Okay, cool. Do you see that? God, he likes to mix it up. He likes to mix it up. He can use anybody anywhere. So I'm the wrong everything, and I walk into the dump. And I see nothing but destruction all around me. I see people dying. I see babies with bloated bellies. I see people with sores. I see people stoned. I see people just sick and angry and dying of starvation. And I just walk in there and I think, this is the most beautiful place I've ever been. I just loved it. I just started crying. I was so happy to be there. The first guy I met, his name's Vidal. This is a totally unreached people group. Here's Vidal. He looks at me and he says, Buena, suka buena satana, na mina, buena, suka buena satana. You go away, Satan, he says to me. He didn't know Jesus, but he knew he had heard of Satan. Go away, you white women. Get out of my dump, he said. Then he broke a bottle, wham, and he stuck it in my throat. He said, I'm going to kill you right now, you. Get out of my dump. I said, just one little minute. Wait just one second. More than a second, I said. Just let me tell you a story. They like stories. All cultures like stories. I said, let me tell you about why I'm here. I said, well, I had this vision, and I was walking in this garbage dump, and Jesus was with me, and we were walking here, and he was putting beautiful robes on you, and he let me put my hand on you, and And your bloated belly became flat, and he let me touch your sore, and it was gone. And he touched your sore, and it was gone. And I said, and there were many of you, and I saw you here, and there was this big feast, and this huge feast, and you're all invited to this feast. And so I came here to tell you about this feast. Do you like to eat, Vidal? And he said, what do you think? Of course I like to eat. I said, we all like to eat. Everybody likes food. They scavenge in the garbage in the poorest nation on earth to get garbage from the poorest people on earth. I mean, it's bad garbage. He's hungry. And all he could think of is wanting to kill me because I don't belong in his dump. Because other Westerners had come to the dump to recycle garbage, to get the poor that they couldn't have the garbage. And he thought I might be one of them. And he was irate and angry, and he kept jabbing the bottle in my throat. I said, just a minute. And I told him the story about the wedding feast, and I told him about love, and I told him about passion. And I said, I don't care if I live or die, I just had to tell you the story. And Vidal knelt that day. He just knelt right there. He just knelt in the garbage, and he started crying. He said, please, will you bring that man to meet me? I want to meet that man. He said, can you find him? Can you bring him to this dump? I want to meet that man, Jesus, because he sounds like a nice man. I said, he is very nice, and he's here right now inside of me. Because I'd already learned Shangan from the people on the street before I got to the dump. So I was talking to him in his local dialect, and his heart was touched, and he put down his bottle, and he just met Jesus, who was the first convert in that unreached people group. Holy is the Lamb. See, the Samaritan, all he did was stop. I don't think he had a great plan, really. But he had something in his hand. It's the last thing I want to share with you before we talk together and pray together. He's had something in his hand, didn't he? The Samaritan had oil and the Samaritan had wine. Beloved, unless we have oil and wine, we've got love. We've got love with no power. And that's a sad thing. You can't just have love. You can't just be full of love and have no power to transform anything. You've got to have love and power that transforms. Where do you get oil? Where do you get wine? Where do you get something to pour on that dying man? Where does it come from? From the one who is altogether beautiful. From you living in the secret place and you worshiping him every day, just on your face, loving God, not saying, God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I need a strategy, I need an ability, I need more staff, I need more money. No, I just need you, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. I've got to be full of you, Holy Spirit. I've got to be full of you, God. Fill me, possess me, take me over, and then tell me whatever you want me to do and show me with eyes open who you want me to see today. Oil and wine, anointing, power, presence. The wine that comes from the blood of Jesus poured out. That man, he had it symbolically. We see it. He poured it out, oil and wine. Beloved, if you are full of the oil and wine of God, then when you stop for the unreached people group one by one, then you'll have something to pour on them. When you pray for the paralyzed woman in the village, she will get up and run. And the tribe will be saved. I went in the garbage dump. I went down there. I walked for an hour. I remember I brought my parents from Laguna Beach, dropped them off with the bandits, said, just hang out here. I'll be back soon. They said, just walk a few minutes here. And I went down. It was an hour later. I got to this old hut, falling down hut. And I didn't even leave my parents any water, you know. Never been to Mozambique before. I got him right off the airport, said, I'm taking you to my favorite place. Dropped him off there, and I'm down there, and there's this man sitting there paralyzed on a grass mat. My friend, who is her husband, brought me to him. I'm thinking in three languages right now. I am. So I'm getting the his and hers. And well, anyway, I'm down there and I'm praying. God said, baptize them. Well, the poor don't have water. You can't immerse them. I like to immerse people. You know what? I said, anyone find any water? They spent 10 minutes finding one cup of water. Brought it to me, poured it over this man's head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, poured it over his head, fully paralyzed, been paralyzed for years, paralyzed in the garbage dump. What a joyful life. I mean, the man is paralyzed in the garbage dump, having to go to a pit latrine full of maggots, paralyzed, having to be carried there. It's not a nice life. And I just think, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus feel? What would Jesus do if he stops? Well, not just love him, but Jesus would see him healed and walking around and dancing with joy. So I poured water over his head in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No video cameras, no posters, no razzmatazz, no big meeting, just a man in a dump who can't walk. Stopping for one person. And he gets up and he starts walking. Seven times God said, walk around his hut. By the seventh time, the village is singing and dancing and leaping, and he's leaping too. And I'm saying, that's it. Oil and wine poured on the dying man. Not just love, but love and power, passion and compassion poured out until their life's transformed. I walked another hour back, found my dad and my mom. My dad said, don't leave me here. But it was just, do you understand what it looks like? Incarnational love, that's how we reach the unreached people groups. Incarnational love and releasing each one of them into incarnational love. Our churches are pastored, all of them are pastored by nationals. All of them are pastored by guys with third grade education. Our Bible schools are 3 months long, and we release them, boom, out onto the fields, and they just go for it, and they walk for days at a time preaching the gospel. We're just little people, all of us, little people learning how to love. The Samaritan man, he poured oil and wine on the dying man, picked him up, put him on his donkey, said, I'll pay whatever it costs. It's going to cost you to reach the unreached. It's going to cost you to reach the unreached. You're going to pay with everything. But Jesus will give you what it takes. Because it's incarnational love, and he will always pour out love on those who are bowed down. He will always pour out love on those who are wholly given. So you just came, and here's my question for you. Wonderful people at a church growth conference. I have the same question that Jesus has. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Even if we don't have any PowerPoints or charts, we may understand this, don't you think? Even if we don't have all the ability to figure out all of the answers, we may understand the answer to this question. And we might then know how God has called us to reach an unreached people group, because he said, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise.